think I had told on myself before, but this is my 38th anniversary of ordination, okay?
Yeah!
And today we're going to have cake. Gwen and I bought a cake. We didn't make it. And we'll do that with fellowship along with the goodies the Caden Heads brought. But for the first 10 years of my ministry, I was petrified being up here. And I was so fearful that I couldn't eat breakfast. And until worship started, I had a hard time staying away from the bathroom. Either it was this end or the other end, okay? And Pepto-Bismol, nothing would fix my nerves. Once worship started, it seemed like I was fine. I have done and led worship service with a kink colon. I've led worship service having the flu symptoms, and everything stopped right when worship time started. And I didn't have any nausea, any dizziness, any sweats, any of the stuff that flu brings on. And I've had other health challenges, but when worship started, it stopped. And when worship was over and I got home, whatever was happening would be back. But every time it was a new Sunday, I was afraid. I was nervous. I was petrified. So some years ago, I had already been a pastor 10 years. I was talking to another pastor. He was 10 years older than I am, and he's now retired. And I asked him about this, and he didn't miss a heartbeat in the sense that he wanted to know where was my focus. And my pastoral answer was, God. Of course, it's God. He said, then why are you nervous? Why are you afraid? Where's your focus? I had to say it was on me. Well, way before I did this messy kind of thinking, Elijah does it. Now, what you think about Elijah's journey, as if we would call him a pastor. Elijah had some phenomenal events before this chapter 18. He has the time where he's sent by God to King Ahab to tell him there will be a drought, no rain for 3 years, and it stopped raining. I mean, how powerful is that? God chose to use him to take a message. It wasn't a nice message, but it was a message. It was to call the people to repentance. So then, Elijah is sent to this woman. Her husband's dead. She has a son. And Elijah says, fix for me something to eat. And the woman tells him, well, I've only got a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And Elijah says, do it anyway. And if you remember the biblical narrative, the flour never goes down and the oil never empties from the oil jar, and they eat for several days. And then lo and behold, the son dies. This widow is now childless. And the joy of her life, the apple of her eye, is gone. And Elijah lays on him. And God raises him from the dead. That's pretty powerful, right? And Elijah rejoices in the Lord, in all that the Lord is working in him and through him. And it's remarkable. And then you come to the event where Elijah is to challenge the false god Baal, which means he's no god at all, and the prophets, the false prophets. And there's 450. And if you remember the biblical narrative, each one builds this big sacrificial, altar to be burned. And they both of their piles, and all the false prophets, they rant and cry out and lament and do everything that Baal would instantly consume the offering, the sacrifice, acceptable by fire. And Elijah waits, and it can't happen. Well, to throw mud in their eye, Elijah has extra water poured on the sacrifice, the wood and the animal sacrifice that's all there. And Elijah prays once, and boom, just like that, the moisture in the trench, the wood, the animal sacrifice, it is consumed just in an instant. And you can imagine the false prophets over here going, oh no. You know, if that God is real and ours isn't, what's going to happen to us? And God has Elijah and the other believers kill 450 false prophets. And the queen, Jezebel, puts a contract out on Elijah's head with an oath. If you're not dead within so much time, may the same thing happen to me that happened to the prophets. So Elijah runs. The focus is now on himself, and he runs. And he goes out, and the verses right before what's on the back of your bulletin tells you what happened. I'm going to show this with you. Ahab chose Jezebel, all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me, and more so, if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under the broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And then today's lesson. And there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And there he was waiting on God. When we look back in life, not only in our life, but back in the life of humanity, to history, we see how God watched over Adam and Eve, even though they sinned. And he provided for them, and he provided for people ever since in his orderly creation. Even with storms and everything else that happens, humanity has been provided for. And when one part of this globe has had famine, another part had food. And if we chose to, as a humanity, to work together, there was enough food for all. But in our selfishness, we hoard. In our selfishness, we don't always see God providing, because man does not share, and we blame God. And in our history and in our journey, again, we see how God guided Elijah, a prophet, a man of God. And God did all these remarkable things in his life journey. But now that there's a contract for his head, Elijah says, enough! No matter how rich the chocolate of God's presence was, no matter how rich the grace of God was in his life and in his heart, the moment his mouth was empty, what did he sound like? He sounded like he had nothing. Nothing to look forward to, nothing to do, and no purpose. And you might as well end my life. He doesn't take his own life, which is a very good thing. And he leaves it up to God, which is still part of faith. At least I think so. But he was willing to die and go no further. And he wanted to be able to blame God. You take my life. It seems like you've taken everything else. But something God did not take away, was his presence. For an angel comes to him and gives him what he needs. And this cake and this water was so powerful by God's action, right? Not just in and of itself as a substance of earth, normal water and normal cake, but by the power of God, it sustained him 40 days and 40 nights. Have you ever had a cake like that? No. I've had Thanksgiving dinner that I thought would last 3 days in my... You know, but I've never had anything in the sense of this world physically sustain me for that kind of period. But I have had something from God that sustains me, and that was Holy Communion. A wafer. How many of you just love the taste of wafers? Right? It's nothing fancy. And I'm not going to ask how many of you like this wine, because then I'll worry about you. But, you know, you think about it. Wine, and a little bit. The wafer, the bread, unleavened, a little bit. And it restores us. And God is forgiving us. And he strengthens us. And he says, I will be with you always. Even when we've had this, it doesn't take any time at all in our journey for the next week, the next days, to all of a sudden have fear overwhelm us. Maybe not as much as Elijah did, because I don't know if any of us that had a contract out on our head, you know. I have been threatened by live weapons. I was, many years ago, I faced off three guys with rifles, and there was shooting, and I ran and hid. I had a pistol, but I wasn't going to be shooting at three guys with rifles, and I thought my life was over. Well, I'm here. So that tells you that wasn't the end of the story. But all of us have had times in our lives where we've been afraid. Whether it's for ourselves or for somebody we care about, we've been afraid. And depends upon our journey, how much does it take to make you afraid today is different than how much it took when you were 5, or when you were 10, or when you were 16, or when you were 21, for those of you older than 21, or when you were 50. It's different, but fear still can overwhelm us. And what we learn from Elijah is this, that when we come into God's presence and by his grace, he will feed us with what we need to strengthen us for the journey. The next thing we need to remember from Elijah is get your eyes off yourself and focus on God. It's not that hard. At least not according to faith. But according to the flesh, it's very hard. Think of another time in the Old Testament when the people of Israel were given a choice, in a sense. Focus on me or focus on the snakes. It was in the days of Moses, and all the poisonous snakes were around. And if people looked to God in the symbol on Moses' staff, they would live. But if they focused on the snakes, they got bitten and died. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like snakes. And in my flesh, it would be hard for me to be looking up instead of looking down, because I'm going to be looking up and saying, oh, there's snakes on the ground. Isn't this great? No. I'm going to be going like this and probably trying to run if I can get escape from that brood of vipers. But you understand, By faith, God empowered his people to look. And by faith, God was reminding Elijah to look to him. The next thing we learn is not only to look to God, but we will not always get all the fireworks, the grand things. Like, God, make your presence known. I would like for you to show up at 4:30 because I have an appointment at 4, so you'll have to wait. And then, you know, and we have all this to-do list for God's appearing and all these expectations in which way I will accept and believe that he really is appearing if he does it this way. And so you heard from Elijah that he was in that cave, in that crevice, you know, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and God wasn't in the tumultuous wind, and God wasn't. And then it was the whisper. Now, how would you describe today God's whisper to you? We often want the theophany, the voice, the thunder. Maybe a voice like James Earl Jones. I love the actor's voice. You know, that kind of voice. But the whisper is in the scriptures. It's so soft. It's so gentle. You just read it. You move your lips and you can even hear the words in a whisper of your own voice, but it's the whisper of God. God's presence made known, the very word of God. And Elijah was given through that whisper a mission and a purpose. And he went on the journey and he did the things that God wanted him to do. And all of this is still true for us today. Just as we've had chocolate at some point, and it's not about whether you really love chocolate or not, but you know its sweetness. So we've had God in our lives, in our baptism, in the times we have communed, in the fellowship of the believers. We've had God in our lives, in Sunday school, Bible study. We've had God in our lives, in worship. We've had God in lives in our marriages, in our children and grandchildren, the gifts of God. We've had God in our lives, the times of healing, the times of just knowing and being made bold and sure and confident. We've had God in our times, the times where he has raised us up. We've had God among us in raising up Alan Foe to be a pastor. We've watched God work in him. We've had God in our lives. I've had, as a pastor for 38 years now, and there are still times that I get nervous and petrified. Isn't that stupid? Are you any different? Isn't it ridiculous? And so here's the most marvelous news. Whenever we act like Elijah and we become afraid, whenever we've tried to run from God, God has chased us down. Right? And God has brought us to where he wants us to be. And he has strengthened us for every step and every hour of the journey. And he has led us with purpose and mission. And he has fortified us by his word. And he reminds us that as you have the sweetness of his grace and his love and his mercy yesterday and today, so he promises that he is the God forever and you will have him tomorrow. And what is there to be afraid of? And my response is nothing until I'm afraid again. Until you're afraid again. Every time God's word comes to us and it comforts us and it strengthens us and it fortifies us and it raises us up so we don't have to run away, but we move forward. Not because I'm so terrific, okay, And Pastor Al's even better. But it's that God, our God, is a gracious, mighty, powerful God who can use us by his own power and purpose to do his bidding. And Elijah, a long time ago, lived this, experienced it, and it's recorded so that we can learn it. And yet we don't have to go back that far in history. Haven't you and I, in our times together, seen the same thing? How God has fortified us. How are we going to survive? What are we going to do? And God has blessed us in mighty ways. True? Amen.